Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Proverbs 30, 5. Job 36, 11. If they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Job 36, 11. And John 1, 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. John 1, 12. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 8. You see this verse on the back of your bulletin today, and you also see it on the screen before you. James chapter 1, verse 8. We're studying some words, as you all know, and right now we've discovered that in verse 17 there's one word. In verse 18 we have three words, and then in verse 19 we have three words. Someone said at the break today that these are not happy words, and I want to let you know that these are not happy words. I guess some of you folks may want the preacher to always say things that will make you happy, but can't do that, because sometimes when we're dealing with God's Word and we come from one verse and go to the next verse, there are times when we find things that are very startling. And these, in my opinion, are some of the most startling words that we find in the New Testament. And so, please, if you will, look at the insert that you have in today's bulletin and notice that we have those words there. And I'm not primarily trying to emphasize the Greek. However, I felt like it was necessary this time to present these Greek words, because if we understand the meaning of these words, it will help us not to have a double mind, a split mind, split soul. And I'm sure that you do not desire that. Your life on this earth and my life on this earth is very, very brief at the longest. And so it's absolutely essential that while we're here, that we keep our focus clear, keep our priorities straight, and focus our minds on those things which are eternal. And all of us have problems with the old sinful nature. There's no doubt about that. If you haven't had any trouble with your old sinful nature, if you'll come up after the service today and tell me how you're managing that, I'll be able to tell you that you're not managing it as well as you think you are. Anyway, we all have old sin natures, and we have problems. There's no doubt about that. And we're dealing with some words that are startling words, and I trust that you will hang tough with me. We won't always be on these words. I'm aware of that. I will get to some happy verses one of these days, but right now, we're in the midst of these. Let's bow for a moment of prayer before we begin our study. Father, we're thankful for Your Word and for the opportunity which we have to study. We are aware of the fact that in life there are many things for us to learn. We're thankful for the challenge that we receive every single day of our lives. Our lives at the longest on this earth are so short, so help us to be aware of the fact that we need to keep our minds straight. Help us to keep our hearts in tune. When we find ourselves out of harmony, out of fellowship, help us to realize what we need to do about that, to claim 1 John 1:9, get our hearts right back in tune with our Lord, and move on advancing spiritually. And so we're thankful indeed today that You've given us these verses. Help us to realize how powerful these verses are. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. On the screen you see James 1:8, a man, anor, two-souled, die, sukkos, unsettled in all the ways of him. It's always interesting to me to notice that many times you'll have, putting the scripture in a smooth translation, it would be unsettled in all his ways. But the way it is in the Greek, you'll see that it says in all the ways And then you have the pronoun of him, which is our too. Now, in the insert that you have in your bulletin today, and also now on the screen, you have these words, mataotes, which is the word found in verse 17. We've already looked at that. We're going to move away from that now down to the next three words, skotizo, which is darkness, the word apolotrio, alienation, porosin, or porosis, which means hardness of heart. And then we may get to verse 19, or may not, but if we don't, then on Wednesday night we'll be looking at these three words, aselegia, which is debauchery, the word akathistia, which is no catharsis or no cleansing, and pleonexia, which is the word for insatiable desire. We've already given you verse 17, so we move now to verse 18. I need to explain to you that we're trying to put the scripture on the screen for you on transparencies, that we're using landscape, which is a transparency that makes the letters larger. And also, when we do this, the letters come out with more ink on them. And as a result of that, when you're moving the transparency from one place to another, you will discover that oftentimes the black gets in between the verses. So I hope that this is not giving you too much difficulty. Anyway, I just wanted to explain what we have here. If you see that there are some markings there that shouldn't be there, the reason for that is we're using larger letters, we're using more ink, we're using the landscape method of printing, and we're putting it sideways here. So just overlook that, please, and we'll get into the verse now. Ephesians 4:18, which says, having been darkened in their minds, having been alienated the life of God through ignorance being in them on account of the hardness, blindness of the heart. If you'll notice that there are three words here, word two, which is the second word now, is skotizo, S-K-O-T-I-Z-O. The next word is in verse 18, apollolotrio, which is alienation from God. And then the next word is porosis, which means hardness of heart. I'm going to give you these words and give you a little information about each one. The word skotizo is the word which means a dark soul. So if you'll write down number one on the second word here, a dark soul. It's a soul that is rejecting God's thinking. A dark soul is a soul that is rejecting God's thinking. Number two, when this happens to an individual, then there are many different evil, harmful replacements. In other words, when a person chooses to turn their backs on God's plan and God's word, there are other things that's going to come in. When the emptiness is there, matoetes is there, when it's emptiness, purposelessness, futility, the vacuum is working. The soul, of course, as we've already said, has been designed by the Heavenly Father to function on divine fuel. And when the fuel is rejected or neglected, then the tank is going to be empty. When the tank is empty, the person seeks for something else. And oftentimes, because of the control of the old sin nature, the person brings into their hearts and lives horizontal viewpoint. And that's taken in. That horizontal viewpoint begins to fill up the tank. Can you imagine what life is all about when a person is operating on the wrong fuel entirely? This, of course, results in this second word, which, number one, is a dark soul. It's a soul rejecting God's thinking. Number two, then there are many different evil, harmful replacements. Number three, this soul darkness blocks vertical viewpoint. Let me talk about that for a few moments. This soul darkness blocks vertical viewpoint. And I need to tell you that it is sad for the soul to be blocking God's thinking. And that's what it means when we talk about vertical viewpoint. Vertical viewpoint is seeing as God sees, seeing from God's vantage point. And if a person is not seeing from God's vantage point, they're going to be seeing from a human horizontal viewpoint. So this soul, point three, blocks vertical viewpoint. Also, this soul, in connection with number three, produces what I call calluses. Or you want to use the word scars, that's okay. Either one of those two words, okay. This soul, darkness, blocks vertical viewpoint, and it produces calluses or scars. Many, many times I've told the story, and I will tell this story again. I lived on a farm. I lived about three-quarters of a mile away from the highway. When I was a little boy, we had a dirt road. And when it rained, boy, that dirt road was quite a challenge. Our neighbors, the Tom Clyers down the way, would come by. We'd always like for them to go first because when they came through, they would make some ruts. And so they would plow some ruts on that old muddy road. And then when my dad would decide to go to town and I would ride with him, I'd get in the back seat of that 38 Chevrolet and we'd pull out on the road from our farmhouse and he would fall into those ruts that had already been made. Now, I hope you're getting the mental picture here. I would be in the back seat and he would be driving along. If you get too fast, you could throw that back end of that car out of those ruts and you might slip off in the ditch. And so I would direct that car from the back seat. That would be my responsibility, hoping my dad wouldn't get too fast and that we would stay in those ruts until we got to the highway. And when we did, then it was real nice. We'd pull out on the highway, and it was always wonderful to hear the tires throwing that mud off. Some of you folks have had this experience. Some of you city slickers have never had this experience. But you pull out on the highway, and boy, those old muddy tires would throw dirt, mud back, and finally down the road a little ways, all the mud would be gone, and you could drive on into town. Well, then it would get dry. The sun would come out, and after a while, the county commissioner would send out the county machine that would plow, smooth out the road. And what would be interesting to me is that maintainer or grader, the particular grader would set the grade to one side and he would come down the road and then he would go out to the end of that 3/4 of a mile and he set the grader on the other side and he would come down and after a while he would cover up those ruts. He would scrape off and cover up those ruts. Now that's the mental picture that I have that I want to share with you. If a person is living their life apart from God's Word, what's happening is that they're going to be getting the calluses or the scars or the ruts in their life. Now, what I need to tell you is that you don't get rid of those ruts. You don't get rid of those calluses by prayer. You only can get rid of those ruts by having the grader of God's grace to come along and grade out or scrape out all of those ruts. What I'm saying there is that you have received human horizontal viewpoint that's made those ruts. So the only way that the ruts can now be corrected is for the Word of God, God's grace through His Word, through that divine grader, come along and scrape those calluses, those ruts, down some. It doesn't happen automatically. It takes a lot of grading. The Word of God comes in and grades down some. The Word of God continues to come in. More ruts, more calluses are graded down. Does that give you a mental picture? I'm trying to let you see that this particular word, skotizo, means a dark soul. It means ruts. It means calluses. It means a vertical viewpoint. It is a soul that's in darkness and it blocks vertical viewpoint, with horizontal viewpoint, And it also produces these scars or calluses. Number four. This is darkness intrusion. I call this darkness intrusion. And this darkness intrusion continues to function in the soul. In other words, as long as the ruts are there, that is darkness intrusion. That's darkness frustration. And it's going to continue to function in your soul. In other words, you're trying to live your life according to God's plan, and what happens? You keep falling off into your ruts. The ruts have to be taken care of. The ruts, the calluses, have to be scraped aside. You have to receive divine vertical viewpoint in order to take care of the calluses or the ruts or the scars. I'm trying to get over a point that's very, very important. And this particular word, if you'll notice, is the Greek word skotizo, S-K-O-T-I-Z-O. Let me show you what the word is. It's a perfect tense verb. It's a passive voice. It's a participle. If you look at the suffix, it's M-E-N-O-I. When you have verbal nouns and verbal adjectives, you will have a suffix that has the conjugation of a verb and the declension of a noun. Now, I don't expect you to appreciate what I just said, but I do want you to see that when you look at a word as a participle, that may be a verbal adjective or a verbal noun, in that suffix, in the last part of that word, you will have that which reveals to you that it has verb content, but you will also see that it has noun content or declension content. You conjugate a verb, you decline a noun. Okay? So what we have here is N-E-N, which immediately tells me that it is a participle. But on the end of it, you have omicron iota, O-I, which tells me that that is the nominative masculine plural of the word. Now, I'm not going to go through all the declensions of a noun, but you have os, u, o, on, and then you get over in the plural and you have oi, which is this. So you can already see that it's oi, which is the nominative plural. Did you get that? Okay. Didn't. The point that I'm trying to drive at is this verb is a perfect tense verb. It's a passive voice. It's a participle. Now, let me put under number five some things that you need to write down. The perfect tense reveals and describes a completed result of a process that began with hardness of heart. The perfect tense reveals and describes a completed result of negative choice towards God and towards truth. Why do I get so excited about this? Why do I want you to see this? Because you're not going to understand until you understand the meaning of the way the word is used in the original text. The perfect tense reveals and describes a completed result of a process that began with hardness of heart. It began with negative choice toward God and toward truth. To put it practically, it means that if you and I make a decision that we're going to go negative to truth, God's Word, it's the beginning of a process. And the perfect tense says it happened in the past, the results consummated in the past, with the results of those events continuing even to this present moment. That's the perfect tense. But you notice here it is the passive voice. The active voice says the subject produces the action. The passive voice says the subject receives the action. This is not an active voice, this is a passive voice. What this is saying is, the subject receives the results. If a person has a hardness of heart, a double mind, a split personality, it means that the dark concepts are acting upon the soul. The dark concepts are acting upon the soul. You may think this is a sad word, and it is. The only way that you and I are going to get out of this thing is to see the danger of what it is when we're there. If we're there and we see the danger, we can get out of that situation. And when we get out of that situation, it becomes a happy word. I'm trying to let you see that there's some happiness here. Perfect, passive, participle. Number six, the participle is what we call adjectival. It's an adjective in function, describing the state of the soul while the process is going on. The participle is an adjective in function, describing the state of the soul while the process is going on. Can you see it? Here's a person who's saved, but they've gone negative. They have darkness of soul, skotizo. And the process is going on. Perfect tense. It's happened. The results continue. Even to this present moment. The participle is an adjectival participle, describing the state of the soul in the process. Number seven. We now have an article. If you'll notice, that article is te dianoia. Look at it, please. T-E D-I-A-N-O-I-A. Could I stop with you for a moment to tell you that I've already said that the word nous is a mine? So noia, N-O-I-A, is an emphasis on the mind. But the first part of that word shows us that it's split, divided. So the dianoia refers to the content of the heart. It refers to viewpoint. The dianoia of Ephesians 4:18, understanding, insight, discernment, the place where knowledge is stored. This is a direct wiring here to the volition for making decisions. Please write that down. There's a direct wiring here to the volition, the choice for making decisions. This says when darkness prevails, decisions will be made. And when decisions are made, they're going to be improper decisions. It's revealed right here. Having been darkened in their mind. Darkness in the mind brings about great difficulty. It affects the viewpoint. The dark viewpoint moves to the conscience, where standards are formed. Then awareness, perception, volition. All this becomes distorted. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say if we're not careful, we're going to have a distorted mind. The old sinful nature. And I tell you what, I have as much trouble with this as you do. I want you to know that you and I must be keenly aware of the fact that the old sin nature is bombarding us in every possible way. Because we have trends in our old sinful nature. Some of you have trends toward asceticism. Some of you have trends toward lasciviousness. Whatever the trend is, some of you have a little bit of a whole bunch of everything. You find yourself swinging one way one day and another way the next day. One day you say, I want you to know that I am a good person. And the next day you say, boy, I have really messed up. I'm living like the devil. So your trend of your old sinful nature has been swinging from one side to the other. We need to be aware of the fact that we have a sinful nature, and we need to also be aware of the fact that the sinful nature has its trends. Be careful if you have the trend toward asceticism, because you're going to think you're really something good. And if you have the trend toward lasciviousness, you're going to be aware of the fact that you know that you're no good. You see what I'm saying? We've studied God's Word long enough over the last 35 or 40 years, I believe, to be aware of the trends of the old sinful nature. We've heard it time and time again. And some of you may be saying, if you're newer here, you may be saying, I don't fully understand what you're saying. What I'm saying to you is, as we study God's Word and increase in knowledge of our Lord, we're going to be able to see the trends of the old sinful nature in our individual life. We're not going to be looking at the neighbor. We're not going to be looking at the husband or wife. We're not going to be looking at our children or our parents. We're going to look within, and we're going to be able to determine some things about the trend of our own personal sinful nature. The heart receives information through the cardia. The heart accepts that information. The heart receives the information and it brings about understanding, which we call viewpoint, or seeing as God sees. All right, let me back up. I think I left you with point 7. We now have the article here with the word dianoia, which is heart. Number 8. The dianoia here refers to the content of the heart, the viewpoint. The dianoia of Ephesians 4:18 is where we are, means understanding, insight, discernment, the place where knowledge is stored. And I just said a little bit ago, there is a direct wiring here to the volition for making decisions. It's kind of like the wires in your house, the wires in this building. They run from place to place to make connections. There's a direct wiring here to the choice, the volition for making decisions. And when darkness prevails, decisions will be improper. That's revealed right here in Ephesians 4:19. Number 9, the heart receives information through the cardia. The heart receives information through the cardia. The cardia is the mentality of the soul. Accept it. It becomes understanding. It becomes viewpoint. And then it can be used. Point 10, and the last one on this word, skotizo. When the mind is a vacuum, when the mind is rejecting truth, it sucks in darkness. This affects the viewpoint. Then this dark viewpoint moves to the conscience, where standards are formed. And then awareness, perception, volition are distorted. I want you to be sure that you understand what I'm saying here. When the mind is a vacuum, rejecting God's truth, it turns on that vacuum cleaner, sucking in the darkness of the world, the things that are not in keeping with truth, God's Word. When this takes place, that affects the viewpoint. And then that dark viewpoint moves to the conscience. And conscience is where the standards are formed. And then awareness, perception, volition become distorted. Okay, if I stay longer here, we'll never get these words all done. Let's go to the next word. Having been alienated. The word alienated is apolotrio. I like to spell it out like this so I can pronounce it correctly. A, then P-A, L-O, T-R-I, O-O. That's apolotrio. That's just much easier for me to say. The word, if you'll notice again, is a perfect passive participle. Again, a nominative masculine plural. Let me quickly give you these points. I only have four, and that'll be just about what we can do. This third word is described as meaning alienated from the life of God. Alienation means separation from something. God's plan includes, as we all know, salvation for the unsaved and the Christian life for the believer. All of us are aware of the fact that in salvation, many benefits are provided for us as we're adjusting to God's plan. I trust that you and I are adjusting to God's plan every day. I trust that every day you are in harmony with the Lord and you take in an increment of God's truth. It's important that you do that. You cannot run your car without fuel. Neither can you or I run our lives without spiritual fuel. How in the world do we think we can go day after day without spiritual fuel and live a successful life? It's impossible. So this word means alienated from God's life. It means to be separated from something great. The perfect tense, number two, means completed results. The person who's alienated is the person who now is described as having no God's viewpoint. And it's described by the word ignorance. I even hesitate to use that word. Why would anyone want to be called ignorant? And yet the Scripture teaches that. It means to be ignorant. It's the completed results of that ignorance. It's the completed results of not going God's way, receiving God's truth. The passive voice here, number three, means alienation is received when volition, choice, rejects truth. Passive voice means alienation is received when volition rejects divine truth. It's described by the words no knowledge. No knowledge. Could you look with me at this and let me show you? It says, alienated from the life of God through, here's the word again, D-I-A, through the ignorance. Do you remember that the word gnosis is the word for knowledge? Gnosko is the verb for knowledge. Do you remember that when you have a little A at the beginning, it means the opposite? So if you have knowledge with an A alpha privative at the beginning, it's the opposite. No knowledge. Would you agree then that no knowledge means ignorance? That's the reason why it's described and translated that way. Through the ignorance being in them. Why is the ignorance being in them? On account of the blindness, hardness, porosin, of the cardia, the heart. I'm having more fun than I can be allowed to have. I am with word four now, and it's time for us to go. We're going to look Wednesday night at porosis, aselagia, akathosia, and pleonexia. And I promise you that I will not be in James 1:8 next Sunday. Wednesday night will be our last time, so I'll have to move. Thank you for listening so attentively. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you today for the challenge of your word. Help us to be keenly aware of the fact that there are so many things for us to learn. Help us to determine in our hearts that we're not going to have this soul tragedy causing our lives to be completely saturated with the things that are not good, that are not right. Help us to see how wonderful it is not to go this way, would help us to see how tragic and sad it is to be captivated and saturated with the things that are not in keeping with God's plan. For those who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to realize today that their greatest decision would be to trust You. And may they do that even just now. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will trust You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.